Hello?
I'm glad this works, as we have one like it in Jerusalem. Doesn't work. Can I steal this one? Well, shalom, y'all. We're still down south, right? Okay. When I go up north, I have to shalom use guys, you know, change vocabulary. And so it's good to be with you. And we love Georgia people. We have a number of Georgia people serving in Israel, but there are more Alabama people who are serving with the Baptist Mission Board there. And we bring you greetings. It might be something in the Bible. Greetings from the saints in Jerusalem, okay? And especially those of us at Jerusalem Baptist Church. And Billy and I have been traveling the country. We just started June 24th, and now we'll continue till October 4th all around the country. Now, we have, we're missionaries, 39 years overseas. This is our 40th anniversary. I've been married in August, so. Before we look at some pictures, and then we'll look a little bit into the Word of God, a few preliminaries. You know, you can look out there, and there's our table, and you can pick up one of our brochures to pray for us. If you don't know when to pray, whenever you eat pasta or pizza, you know, we're Italian, nuccheroni, like macaroni, you can pray and learn a little bit about our ministry. And also, we have a brochure about a trip that we're taking in December. You can come and take this trip with us. But I also have some books you might want to. We don't sell books, donation, but I wrote three books. The first is Reformation and Revival Solution for the Middle East, based on revival principles under King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah. Then the second book, based on a prayer in Nehemiah chapter 9, it's called Call to World Revolution, God's Path to Total Victory. Okay? And then I just finished a book that I've been thinking about for 10 years, The Soon Return of Jesus the Messiah. Are you ready? And I'm living in the Holy Land, a lot of signs, okay? And I can confidently say Jesus is coming soon, because the Bible says the time of the Lord is near. And don't we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. So you can get that book, and it's got different sections, prophecies about China, that's in the news, Russia, that's in the news, and even a section, Donald Trump and prophecy. Okay, so that will entice you to buy the book, see what I have to say about that. So I'm not a prophet. I only tell you what the Bible says. But I give observations, since I've been living in Israel now 11 years. And so we see a lot of things happening. Now, we're going to look at some slides, and then we're going to look at a prayer that the Lord taught his disciples, because it's a missionary prayer in one sense, and we're missionaries. And, of course, we're all missionaries, right? You're sending the jubilaires and the jubilees, and they're going to be in our church, by the way. And we did have, what's a men's group called? Yeah, okay. Were you in Israel with us? Do you remember me? Yeah, oh, good. I'm glad you remember me. And Brother John, it was a wonderful time there. Some sang in our church. We had concert at the YMCA and outside, and the ladies will be coming, so we're looking forward to that. Now, here's Israel in the news almost all the time, in the midst of, you know, the middle of the Middle East, actually the only democracy in the Middle East. Go ahead. Billy and I live in the great city of Jerusalem, which is, according to Ezekiel chapter 5:5, the center of the world. So we're in the center of the world right there. And we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's what the Bible says, right? That means, to me, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's only when peace will come. And in the meantime, we preach Jesus. And go ahead. And this is our family. This is not the Brady Bunch, Bradley family. This is our first daughter with three little girls. I have three girls, and we start off with three granddaughters. So come on, Lord, give us a boy. Well, now it's okay. Libby is now expecting her fourth, and it will be a boy. Okay, go ahead. But he won't be the first because our daughter Emily, and that's her husband Seth, gave birth to Levi, our first grandson, in Beirut, Lebanon, in April. So that was good. Now, praise the Lord, this is amazing. Every parent, oh man, would love this. They are moving from Lebanon to Jerusalem. So he's going to be teaching at the Anglican school there, so we'll have little Levi with us. So that's going to be fun. Okay, and then our little one, Allison, in the middle there, she's working in Ghana, West Africa, doing mission works. All over. Okay, below the red, above the red. Okay, got that. Go ahead. And this is Jerusalem Baptist Church, okay, in the heart of a Jewish neighborhood. How many have been there? You remember the church there. Wonderful congregation. Okay, go ahead. And we work not only with Jerusalem Baptist Church, but I do sport ministry. I'm not a golfer. Sorry. I wish. You have to kind of grow up in a golf family. But I did play football. But we work with basketball with the Palestinians, and we have many trainers come over. We have around, of the Palestinians, 50 kids profess faith in Christ every year. So that's wonderful. And then we work with American football. Next slide. This is the Israeli American Football League. And we actually have some former NFL players coming over and helping us training these Israeli people, Israeli guys who are playing American football. Go ahead. That's a whole bunch of them with our coaches and trainers. Now, these are not famous NFL players. NFL means National Football League, but it also means not for long. So they played professionally 1 or 2 years, okay? Go ahead. You know this sport, lacrosse, that we play that up north. So FCA sent a team of lacrosse players to help out at the international lacrosse tournament in Israel. So we minister to all these teams, and this is at the end of a game with the country of Uganda. Go ahead. Hey, you know what happened this year? Or last year? U.S. Embassy came to Jerusalem. And so this is Gary and I. Gary was there with a bunch of people. So that's where the embassy was. See that flag there? The flag above and a flag in the flowers. See the flowers? Made American flag. It was a monumental event. Of course, we were celebrating. You know, by the way, God established Jerusalem as the capital under King David. Okay? All right, I just want to be clear about that. That's in the Bible. Okay? Nothing political. Okay, go ahead. The next slide, God bless President Donald Trump. That was in the neighborhood. They appreciated what he did, bringing the embassy there. Go ahead. Trump, make Israel great. Okay, so it's all over Israel, you know. Go ahead. Now, this was the protest against that. They had a bunch of, what can I say, Democrats, liberals, anti-people, who protested against bringing the embassy to Jerusalem. Go ahead. And you know Trey Gowdy? Okay, so I met him at the airport. I thought that was interesting. But I did say he's a good Baptist, but I just wanted to show you this. But we appreciate all that God is doing in America and in Israel. And we can say that when you bless Israel, God blesses you. Right? So that's good. It doesn't matter. We're not talking politics. That Genesis 12, he who blesses you will be blessed. He who curses you will be cursed. So when we bless Israel, and I hope most politicians will do that, we get the blessing. Go ahead. Now, we also, Gary and Allie joined us one time where every Christmas Eve, you know where we go? Bethlehem. And we preach the gospel. This is us on stage, And we're actually preaching to around 10,000 people who are gathered there. And then it's on Middle East television. We sing and I share the gospel. And it's actually to millions of people who are listening on Middle East television. So it's a great opportunity. Go ahead. This is the Kanavati family. They host a lot of our teams in Bethlehem. So a wonderful family. Pray for them. They don't have the best health, but do pray for the Kanavati family. Now, that doesn't sound very Arabic. They're actually from a Crusader family, but they live in Bethlehem and have this wonderful hotel. Go ahead. This is the greatest saint in Jerusalem, Irene Levy. She's going to be 100 years old, still serving Jesus. And I say about her in Psalm 92, it says that the righteous will bear fruit even in their old age. Don't you want that to be true of you? I said, here's a living example. I said, it's wonderful to have a lady in our church like her. I can always say, we need to be like Irene, you know, and live for the glory of God at age 100 in August. So pray for Irene. All right, go ahead. And this is Barry and Sybil, our Jewish friends. I have to point it over here. Do pray for them. Barry and I, we've been friends 11 years. I studied Hebrew with him. You know, he's a Jewish guy. He says, I'll come to your church, but don't try to convert me. And I go to a synagogue. But no, God is working in his life. And you need to pray for Barry and Sybil. Okay? Go ahead. And this is, you heard of the Maasai tribe in Africa. They came, and I was able to host them. This is actually the tribal leader and the spiritual leader of the whole Maasai tribe. And it's amazing what God did, because they came back to seek reconciliation with Israel, because a number of Maasai tribe people killed some Jews a long time ago. They were coming to bring reconciliation. Go ahead. And this was amazing. When our little Levi was born in Beirut, Lebanon, in April, we went up there for the birth. We got there the day we arrived, right after that, little Levi was born. So we were there 2 weeks in Beirut. And I wanted to do some ministry, you know. My wife can take care of the baby. You know, I love babies, but, you know, they know how to handle babies. I wanted to do ministry, especially among Syrians. So I contacted a pastor from Lebanon, and I said, I want to do some ministry with Syrian refugees. And he said, do you have $100? I said, yeah, you want money? I mean, I want to do some real ministry. Well, don't worry. We're going to take 10 Syrian refugee Muslim ladies for dinner at Kentucky Fried Chicken. Okay? But before we take them out, we're going to have a meeting, and you can give your testimony and share the gospel. So these ladies here, I was sharing the gospel. I came to the Lord at a Billy Graham crusade in 1970, okay? I went forward. Nobody invited me to the crusade. But when I went forward, after hearing the gospel, the leader, whatever they call it, the counselor, shared John 3:16. That's all I needed to hear. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And I prayed, and I told these ladies, I was starting to cry. They started to cry. And I said, would anyone like to accept Jesus? And they all prayed to receive Christ, all 10 of them, Muslim ladies. And afterwards, we brought them, go ahead, to the KFC, and that's us enjoying Kentucky Fried Chicken. That $100 was worth it all, right? You know, but what a wonderful opportunity. Go ahead. And then Mr. Pastor Joseph also brought me to the border with Syria. And there are a whole bunch of these tents there. And they house Syrian refugees whose, how can I say, the husbands are members of ISIS. And they send their kids and their families into Lebanon, and they're here. But what an opportunity. We went into the tents. Go ahead. And had tea. You bring him something like some powdered milk as a present. And they're open to the gospel. This family, her mother, two kids, and her nephew, I shared the gospel, and they all accepted Jesus. I said, God is working here. So let's pray for the Syrian refugees. Go ahead. And wouldn't you like to have a house like that? That a wonderful, beautiful house. And a boat. Oh, man. This is in southern Lebanon, Hezbollah territory. This is the house of a Hezbollah leader who didn't have much money until he was contacted by the country of Iran. And they say, you want to work for us, we'll give you money. So the money that we gave them and, you know, all that money goes to support terrorists. And now this Hezbollah leader purchases a nice home like that. Just to let you know reality, okay? Go ahead. And, of course, even in the city in Israel, Gary and Ali were there a month ago with our team. This is we had a meeting in Ephraim. And we had a meeting with Muslims, and these are some of the girls with the Muslims, but go ahead. We had a meeting, evangelistic meeting, and seven kids accepted Jesus, Muslim kids. So it was wonderful. And that's right in Israel. It's in a Palestinian village called Taibe, which is in Ephraim. Go ahead. And this is Muhammad, one of the, he even came, he heard the gospel. He was one of the Muslim leaders, so. Go ahead. And this is my last slide, but this is, I call it the hope of the Middle East. You know what the hope of the Middle East is? The grace of God. God could save anyone, right? I'm the left, that I'm a politician's kid, saved by the grace of God. Next to me is Milton Alvarez. He was a member of the mafia, a member of the drug cartel. He sold drugs to Saudi Arabian princes, and he had all this money, had eight women. You know, he was quite a playboy, I guess you can use that term. But he was dissatisfied with his life and wanted to end his life. He goes into a hotel room, says, I'm going to kill myself, but I need to listen to Comedy Central. I want to laugh a little bit. He turns on the television. Instead of Comedy Central, it's Nikki Cruz preaching the gospel. So I want to hear this. He changes the channel. It's Nikki Cruz preaching the gospel. And he surrendered at that point his whole life to Jesus. Now he's an evangelist in Jewish. This is actually taken in Jericho. Next to him is Tas Sadar. He was Yasser Arafat's hitman. He killed Israelis. He killed Jordanians. But God got a hold of him, he came to faith in Jesus, and now he has a ministry in Israel and loves Jews. When Muslims come to faith, you know what? God changes their heart, and they love Israel. And that next to him is Brother Terry Hill, good friend of mine, coach. Actually, he was the sport minister at First Baptist Atlanta under, you know, Charles Stanley, but he's with the Lord now. He was a coach, and he's a pastor's kid, all saved by the grace of God. Okay, thank you. That's it. So you have some things that you've seen that will encourage you to continue to pray for us. You know, I think about prayer, and, of course, the Lord, he taught much about prayer, didn't he? You know, when the disciples came to the Lord, they did not ask him, Lord, teach us to preach. You know, that's a... you know, we're down south here, right? That's common, you know, preacher boys, you know. Called to preach, you know, if I may use that accent. I'm from New Jersey, so excuse me. But we have all these people. I'm called to preach. I want to be a preacher boy and everything. Well, you know, they never said, Lord, teach us to preach. They said, teach us to pray. And we have this wonderful prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Of course, this takes place, and he's teaching this in the context of the Sermon on the Mount in the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful place to go to if you ever go to Israel, the Sea of Galilee, and teaching about prayer. And, of course, Jesus wants us not only to pray the right way, but also pray with the right spirit. And in Matthew chapter 6, of course, there's certain principles here that we can look at as we just examine this prayer and hopefully learn from it. And of course, there's a right way to pray and there's a wrong way to pray. And Jesus would always say, don't pray like the Pharisees. Don't give like the Pharisees, right? Don't fast like the Pharisees who like to be seen by men. Hypocrisy. Even in Israel today, a lot of people praying. The Muslims pray, right? They pray, you call to prayer. The Jews pray at the wall. The Christians pray. Unfortunately, many are not praying to the right God. They might be sincere, but they're praying to the wrong God. And, of course, a lot of these people are praying for show, as Jesus said. Don't be like them who like to stand, those men who like to stand in the marketplace or near the synagogue and like to be seen praying. But when you pray, Jesus said, don't pray openly, pray secretly. Now, we still have to pray openly. I understand that. But God wants us to realize that he wants our full attention. And he wants us to pray not to please men, but to please him, right? When you think about it, what's our desire? To please men? Or is our desire to please God? Our desire should be to seek the smile of God and him alone. Whatever you do, when you pray, when you give, when you preach, are we doing it to please men? Are we doing it to tickle the ears of men? You know, didn't Paul talk against these people who wanted to preach just to please people? We need to pray. We need to preach for the glory of God. And the glory of God alone, right? Always seek the smile of God. Don't worry about what men think. The fear of man is a snare. So Jesus was teaching, pray the right way with the right attitude, pleasing God. And then when you pray as well, don't pray with a lot of words. Don't pray thinking God will hear you if you use a lot of words. Don't pray like the hypocrites who prayed a lot of prayers or prayed a lot of words. But when you pray, go into your inner room and pray very simply. And then now he gives us the Lord's Prayer, which is really not the Lord's Prayer. It is really the disciples' prayer. The Lord never prayed this. He doesn't have to pray, forgive me. This was for the disciples. And not that we have to repeat it, and it's a magic formula, but it gives us a basic doctrine, a basic outline of how we should pray. And it's wonderful to see this because it's very systematic. It's very simple. You know, starting off, of course, with worship. Our Father who art in heaven. Now, if you were to come to Israel, one of the places that not too many groups go to because it's in an Arab village is Bethany. Bethany is a wonderful place. We took you there. Lazarus tomb, the home of Mary and Martha. Don't you like that story, Mary and Martha? I love Mary and Martha. I asked the ladies, are you a Mary or are you a Martha? You know, we need both, don't we? But what did Jesus say? Here is Mary worshiping at the feet of Jesus. Oh, Lord, Martha said, what's my sister doing? No, Jesus said, Mary has chosen the better part, worshiping at the feet of Jesus. You know, worship, praising the Lord. You know, before we can reach men, we must reach God. Now, it says here, first of all, our Father. Don't you like that? We can go into the presence of the Lord at any time. But not only that, he's not only our Abba. That's Hebrew word for father, right? You know what the Hebrew word for mama is? Ima. Isn't that nice? Ima and Abba. But also, our Father who art in heaven. We pray to a God who always will listen to us. We can go to him at any time, but also a God who is the Lord, the King of the universe, the sovereign Lord. Aren't you glad in this present political culture that we're living with all the wars going on, not only physical wars, but political wars, that God is in control. You know, even elections, you know, have like, well, Lord, your will be done, right? You're the sovereign Lord. The Lord lifts up and puts down. You know, let's think about it that way. He's the king. You know, God is not a Republican or Democrat. Can I say that at the beginning? Got it? We are members as children of God, children of the kingdom, okay? And we pray for God's will. We serve the king, okay? And we pray to the king who is in heaven. Not only that, we say and we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The recognition of the holiness of God. Now, I think of, you know, I love kids. How many love kids? But I really love grandkids. You know, you can play and have fun, then you can leave, you know. But, you know, we had our first grandkid, and I said, I didn't realize how much love I had until I had my first grandkid. But I thought to myself, what can I do for my grandkid, for little Claire? And I was reading a book, and the author was quoting Robert Murray McShane, who's a great Scottish preacher. And Robert Murray McShane said, the greatest thing I can do for my church is to live a life of holiness. And I thought to myself, that's what I need to do for my grandkids, live a life of holiness. That's not easy, you know, in this decrepit, immoral world. You know, it's not getting any better. You know, I talk about the second coming of Christ, and that's good, but don't think things are going to get better. They are not going to get better, okay? Maybe we have a little reprieve now, okay? Because God wants us to preach the gospel. Things will not get better. Even in the country of Israel, the Holy Land is not so holy. Right before you guys came, no, with Sarah and with the other girl's name, Jenna, I took them around. We got stuck in traffic. Why? They were in Jerusalem. They were having a gay parade. A gay parade. You know, I had forgotten about it. You know, the colors and all that stuff. I said, boy, we have really gone down, right? Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, all over. In fact, Tel Aviv, they say, could be considered the gay capital of the world. It's amazing. So things are going bad, but we as Christians need to be holy, right? Because God is holy. Then he says this, holy is your name. Your is your name. Name. You know, this is very important because we pray in his name. We work for his name. We represent his name. Now, if you're from a very famous family, my family's not famous, okay? Nuccheroni, you've never heard of Nuccheroni before, right? But we're from Italy. You know, my grandparents are all from Italy. And we're not mafia. My grandfather wanted to make it very clear when he came to America, I'm a good Italian. I'm not a mafia, but... I'm a Nuccheroni. We're not a mafia. No Gambino, no Al Capone. You know, we're good people. And they always instilled in us that you represent the family. Now, we represent the name of Jesus, right? And that's so important. We are part of his kingdom, part of his family. We also pray in his name. Now, my friend Barry and Sybil, the Jewish couple, he had some serious back problems. He was kind of bedridden. And it was interesting because at that time, I had two African ladies visiting us. They were in my church in Vienna, Austria, Mary and Catherine. And Maria, she's a great prayer warrior. And I said, Barry, I'm going to bring over my friends to pray for you. And Maria, I knew, would pray. And I told Maria, we're going to go over Barry's house. And Maria, we're going to pray for them. But maybe you shouldn't pray in Jesus' name. You know, I was a little afraid of being offensive, you know, Jew. And she said, Pastor, I'm sorry. I always pray in Jesus' name. Okay, so we go over there. So I'm with Barry. He's lying down there. Barry, you mind if Maria prays for you? Okay. But she's going to pray in Jesus' name. And Barry said, well, I guess that wouldn't hurt. So she prayed, and I mean, in Jesus' name. And not that there was instant healing, but actually Barry felt a little better, you know. But it really encouraged him, you know, praying. And I remember also when our daughter Allison, the youngest one, she's a world traveler. She'd been to every continent. She's only like 25. But she wanted to go to Manila to visit a friend, Manila, Philippines. So she was coming from the States, had a stopover with us in Jerusalem. And, of course, she got a flight out of Amman, Jordan. That means Daddy had to take her to Amman, you know, by bus and et cetera, et cetera. So we got, and she was sick, and she didn't want to go. I mean, she wanted to go. She knew she had to go. She had the reservation, but she was very sick. So we got to the airport. Daddy, I can't go. I can't go. I'm feeling so, I'm going to get sick on the plane. I said, Allison, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name, okay? When all else fails, pray and call on the name of the Lord and pray in Jesus. I said, Lord Jesus, in your name, help her. So you pray in Jesus' name, okay? Then you go in Jesus' name. I said, Allison, now you get on that plane and you go in Jesus' name. You know, was that forceful? Pray forcefully and then go forcefully. And you get on that plane in Jesus' name. So she went on the plane. Now, the plane ride, the first leg was from Amman to Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, with all Muslim men. It wasn't too pleasant for her. But when they changed planes in Jeddah, she got on with these Filipinos, and they said, Miss Nucharoni, would you like to go into first class? Sure. Well, you can go into first class seat. And she got a first class seat. And I think she texted us, my problems are solved. She felt a lot better. So it's amazing what can happen when you pray in Jesus' name. And so we pray in Jesus, hallowed be thy name. Then the Lord continues, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray, it's not so easy to pray the will of the Lord, right? Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Now, the kingdom come to mean means exactly this, Jesus, come quickly. Soon return, right? So we're praying for the kingdom to come, right? But in the meantime, you know what we're doing? Jesus has left us here to what? Preach the gospel, right? Occupy until I come, preach the gospel. And preach the gospel around the world, okay? And you need it here. America needs the gospel, obviously. But they need it over there as well. Thy kingdom come. I remember, and this is part of our priority, we worship the Lord, and we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I remember reading from this guy, Larry Lee, wrote a lot about the Lord's Prayer. And he had a pain in his leg. And he went to a pastor, and pastor, you can pray for my leg. And the pastor starts worshiping God. Then he starts praying, God, I pray for the church in China, and I pray for the Middle East that Muslims would come to faith. Lord, and I pray for all the church in Africa. And Larry's thinking, wait, I asked you to pray for my leg. What are you praying for these other things first? And he said, well, if you read the Lord's Prayer, before it says, give us this day our daily bread, what does it say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, we must do first things first, worship, and then pray for the kingdom to be built. The kingdom message is spread around the world. And he understood that priority. And it's good. Listen, we pray for sick. We pray for that. But pray for the world. Pray for those who are dying without Christ. And I think of Jerusalem. You know, we're in that city. And the early church, you know, people ask me, how many in your church in Jerusalem? And I say, well, 2,000 years ago, we had 3,000. And it got up to 5,000. Now we're down to 70. You know, we spread out around the world. You know, but the kingdom of God was spread. They preached the God. You know, the burden for me is the burden that the Apostle Paul had, the burden that Jesus had, to preach the gospel. The early apostles were condemned by the Pharisees. You have spread this message around Jerusalem. You are guilty. I want to be guilty of spreading the gospel. I want to be guilty of filling Jerusalem with the doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why I pray for Jerusalem. I have a map of Jerusalem. You should pray for Jerusalem. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Not only come quickly, but Lord, may we bring the message of peace to people. Okay? And this is your Jerusalem, by the way. Okay? You pray here. And, you know, Jerusalem, it's amazing what the Bible says, because it's Jerusalem's on the heart of God. In the book of Isaiah, they have some really powerful words and really powerful prayers about Jerusalem. Let me just read this to you. In Isaiah chapter 60, excuse me, my fingers aren't so quick. Here it is about Jerusalem. Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. That's Jerusalem. I will not keep silent for Jerusalem's sake. I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines. You could say that about San Simons, too. I will not keep silent. I will continue to pray for his kingdom to come, for his will to be done. Then, of course, the Lord, you know, after we worship, after we acknowledge his will be done, and let me tell you something. It's not an easy thing to pray, thy will be done, right? You go to the Garden of Gethsemane, very clear there, thy will be done. Jesus, what he had to go through. Even after Gethsemane, going to Caiaphas's house and under trial at the Sanhedrin, there was a whipping post. He was whipped for us. Thy will be done. And then goes to the cross for us. Thy will be done. Take this cup from me, no, Lord. No. May not this cup, may it not pass from me. Let thy will be done. It's not so easy to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. But then he concludes and says, give us this day our daily bread. Every need, right? Has Jesus ever failed you? Tell me. I say at the end of the year, my church, have people failed you? Yes. Has circumstances frustrated you? Yes. Has Jesus ever failed you? No. Jesus never fails. He always provides. Now, there are conditions here. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you. But God will provide. You know, I mean, even coming here, it's amazing. Every little thing. God's concerned with every little thing, every little need we have. We have never been forsaken. We've been overseas now 40 years, 39 years. Every need. We're not rich, okay? I'm not in the prosperity gospel. I don't have jets, okay? We've never owned a home, okay? I'm not trying to, you know, what do you call that? Have you feel sorry for me. You know, I feel a lot freer. I remember what John Wesley said. John Wesley had a lot of money. You know, he didn't live for money. But one day his house got burned down. You know what he said? Well, that's one less thing to worry about. I mean, God will supply. I mean, even coming here, my home church was going to give me a van. They always give me a van, 6-seater or 7-seater, 8-seater. None was available. So I didn't know what to do. Oh, no. $3,000 I have to spend to rent a car. I wasn't very happy about that, you know. So I called my Marine friend, Todd Green. He's a pastor and a Marine in Sharpsburg, North Carolina. And I said, Todd, can you help me? I don't know what to do. He says, I'll get back to you in 2 days. And so 2 days said, we're going to give you our church van, 15-seater. I got more than I bargained for. 15. I can, if you need a ride, by the way, U-Haul, just call me. I can help out moving, no problem. But, you know, it's amazing what God will do when we pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. Forgiveness is such an important thing, right? To forgive. And then he ends, of course, with the glory of God. Thy kingdom come, right? Thy kingdom come, yes, but to him be the glory forever and ever. Now, forgiveness, I just end with this. Since I have, give me 2 minutes, and then we're, I know you choir practice, you can start praising Jesus. But I tell this story because we need to pray for forgiveness, especially in the Middle East, you know, Jews and Arabs against each other and difficulties. But our church, nice-looking church, Jerusalem Baptist Church, but one time it was burned down, okay? Then it was ransacked, burned chairs, hymn books, all right? Smoke damage. We had insurance. We got compensation. But it was all like, I don't know, people didn't like us. And then one day I got a text message that our church was attacked. Oh, no. And I thought they blew up the church. And these are not Muslims. Okay, these were not Muslims. We were in a Jewish neighborhood, kind of radical, oddball Jews, okay? I'm not saying these are strange people. Everybody has strange people, right? Jews, Christians, Muslims. And I went down to church. It wasn't bombed, but somebody, they wrote graffiti, death to Christians, Jesus the son of a whore. So now, all things work together for what? Good. God worked it out. We got sympathy from the neighborhood. I got on Israeli television sharing what Jesus does for us. I after that, I was down in Bethlehem, and I told the mayor of Bethlehem, because they were giving us a certificate for singing on Christmas Eve. I said to the mayor, our church was graffitied. He was very sorry. Then I spoke to the vice mayor of Bethlehem. I told him what had happened. And the vice mayor said to me, Pastor, let me tell you something. During the Intifada, the rebellion of the Jews, or the rebellion of the Palestinians against Israel, you know, there was a battle going on. We Christians were in the crossfire. My 12-year-old daughter was shot and killed. And I was shot 8 times. And he said, Pastor Al, we must forgive because Jesus forgave us. I'll never forget that. That's the love of God. And we are to pray. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. So, Father God, as we just conclude our time now, we thank you for this wonderful group from St. Simon's at Frederica Baptist, and we pray for them and pray for the land. I know that we've passed over the land before, Gary and I. We prayed over that land that you have, that God's going to give you, that they would continue to be a great testimony here, and you would give them the money, the resources they need. And we pray for the pastor, that God, you will bring the right pastor here to pastor this church, to make this a shining light, a testimony to all. And may they continue to shine that light, to preach the gospel. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Well, that was just